You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the king, Scott Angle, and Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Gentlemen, what a week here in Week 12. We learned quite a bit. We learned, hey, Corey Davis stinks.
I also learned magic. I made the king disappear.
Gone! Yeah. Hey, Kareem Hunt stinks!
Oh my lord.
Julio Jones doesn't stink! That's what we learned in Week 12.
Come sit down, Scott.
What's up, Corey?
What's going on, Mr. Sussman? How's everything going? Glad to have you, glad to be here today, talk a little fantasy football. Obviously, we got some things that we got to get worked out and situated. A big story as we move into Week 13 and probably through the rest of the playoffs is going to be what the hell is going on with Kareem Hunt.
Yep.
He is a player that we can now seriously consider putting on our bench.
You can have
because
no
him and whatever Andy Reid is doing, they're not getting it done. And I don't have time to waste. But Andy Reid got his money. I got to get mine.
Matt Modica, man, you're the Kareem Hunt guy. You're the Corey Davis guy. It has not been a fun morning for you.
No, it has not. Kareem Hunt will be in my lineup. I will die with Kareem Hunt. Corey Davis, I don't want to play this upcoming week. But if Matthews is out again, he's facing Houston. I don't know what to do, but you know, they're not making it easy for me.
Scott Angle, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Matt doesn't feel totally bad, though, because he is a Julio Jones guy. So there's that. And, hey, you know, Joe Mixon finally showed up in a big way, and Sammy Watkins finally had the kind of game we were waiting for. It only took 12 weeks for these guys.
Matt's a Julio Jones guy only because he doesn't go all in on Odell Beckham Jr.
Exactly.
Little callback there. Callback! Diversification. How about that? Hey, we talk a lot over the last 2 hours about Kareem Hunt and about Corey Davis and, of course, about the Michael Crabtree fight. So make sure, if you're interested in hearing about that, go listen on demand here to the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network on iTunes, wherever you listen to your podcast. First 2 hours will be there. So make sure you did not miss any of that. Scotty, you mentioned Sammy Watkins yesterday. And Sammy Watkins, I don't want to say he was the featured wide receiver without Robert Woods, but he was certainly more involved. No, the featured wide receiver was the Hall of Famer. But the Rams go on to win this game in a battle of two very, very good NFC teams, the Rams and the Saints. The Rams win this one at home, 26-20. It was Sammy Watkins going 4-for-82 in a touchdown. He was targeted 9 times at the second highest on the team to Cooper Kupp, who went 8-for-116-11. You have to give him credit, Scott, and that's Sean McVay, who even without Robert Woods, who has become their number one wide receiver, he was able to get Cooper Kupp more involved, Sammy Watkins more involved, evolve this offense to be a very good New Orleans Saints team.
Yeah, and he took advantage because, you know, Watkins needed to step up with Woods out, but to Watkins' credit, he has scored in 3 of his past 4 games, and you know, they were missing both their starting corners. He had 4 catches for 82 yards. You wonder if Watkins is going to draw Patrick Peterson next week, though. Then they got Philadelphia. They do finish up with some matchups they can expose in the secondary in Seattle and Tennessee. Cooper Kupp, who leads all rookies second all rookies in receiving yards, had his first 100-yard game of his career yesterday.
Real quick, Julio Jones is second in the NFL in receiving yards, 3rd in points, 3rd in average. Julio Jones, it's here. We're going into Week 13.
All right, we're going to talk more about the Saints, Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, and so much more. We have a lot more games to get to. Seattle, San Francisco, Jacksonville, and Arizona, too. This is the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, presented by DX Racer.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Saints and Rams kind of lived up to the expectations. 26-20 victory, as we said, by the Rams. How about Todd Gurley, man? 17 for 74 on the ground. Also chipped in 54 through the air. That's once again going over 100 yards with ease was Gurley. And he's just been the best. Oh, boy.
Yeah, he's double figures in every week PPR-wise since week five, which was really his only off week of the season. In week 7 and 9, he had over 20 points, got close in week 10, and over 30 fantasy points in each of the last 2 weeks. The floor is marvelous there.
Yeah, as good as Gurley's been, he is only 22 points in a PPR ahead of Alvin Kamara.
Which is unbelievable.
And Alvin Kamara didn't have a full workload to start the season.
He has one game of 100-yard rushing or more.
Yeah, the versatility has been great because in his last four games, Gurley has not rushed for more than 75 yards.
Alvin Kamara yesterday did it again. He carried the ball only 5 times for 87 yards and a touchdown. He also led the team in receiving, catching 6 passes for 101 yards and a touchdown. You mentioned Tariq Hill earlier, and this is when he started blowing up. And this is what Alvin Kamara is doing now, blowing up week in and week out. And the question always was, can it be sustained? Will it continue?
Oh, you're damn right.
And it's clear.
He's a big part of the offense. He's a big piece. He's getting it done. I don't own him nowhere.
Me either.
And I'm kicking myself.
Mark Ingram got that touchdown taken back. Otherwise, he would have double the points again, too.
Mark Ingram really let you down yesterday way. 11 carries for just 31 yards. Caught 2 passes for 5 in the air. His touchdown was called back. Because of that, a disaster day for Mark Ingram owners.
Yeah, but he'll bounce back. And for Kamara, like, at least 24 PPR points in each of his last 4 games. And he's so much fun to watch. It's like he caught a 9-yard screen pass in the second quarter, and I think he broke at least 4 defensive backs' ankles.
Just wish he didn't have that damn nose ring.
Yeah, that nose ring is crazy. I agree with Corey. But the one thing I liked about Kamara in the preseason, I kept preaching, was the fact of the role he was going into and what it has meant in fantasy over the past few years. I was poo-pooed by some on that notion, but it's come to... Look, I didn't think he'd be this good.
Sure.
At all. Otherwise, I would have had... I would have had more shares. I would have drafted him higher. But, I mean, look, Gurley's averaging 21.8 points a game. Bell, 20.6. Those are the only 2 20 points or more. Kamara's right there, 19.8.
Listen, Alvin Kamara is winning people leagues here in 2017. But I do want to ask, because it's been brought up on Twitter a bunch, and in all honesty, I'm wondering as well. Alvin Kamara is what? An early first round pick? A middle first round pick? A late first round pick next year?
I'm picking him in the first round.
Where in the first round?
I don't know yet. I mean, it's too... I'm worried about week 13.
I understand that.
I'll say this. This is why. Peyton loves this player. Everything he said from training camp, whatever, mini camps, training camp, I mean preseason, throughout the season, he loves this player. I don't know if Mark Ingram is going to be gone after this year. I'm not saying that. I don't know. But these two guys can coexist, number one.
They're doing it now.
Yeah, they're doing it now. And if he does become their back next year, he becomes their bell cow guy. I mean, how is he not a first round?
He's a fantasy bell cow right now.
Sure.
And then, you know what? If everything stays the same, they bring back the same coaching staff. Ding. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They bring back the same coaching staff.
That's a good point,
Corey. Their offensive line doesn't get depleted. If they bring it back the way it's looking right now, I do think he's a first rounder next year. I think he's a top 7 fantasy
pick.
Look
at that draft.
He's a fantasy bell cow.
Look at the draft the Saints had last year. I mean, they nailed it. They got Lattimore, they got a lineman, and they got Kamara in the 3rd round. You know, they just...
Kudos
draft. To them.
What would just scare me off, and I get it, he's unbelievable. But your first round pick getting 5 carries in a game, which is scary.
But look, this is my thing. I've been arguing this point too. If you're playing in PPR, it doesn't matter. All matters is touches and snaps. That's what you've got a key on. If you're playing in standard, it's different. I understand you want to get 20 carries or close to 20 carries. If you're playing in a PPR, you care about touches. If you get 20 touches and say 6 of them are rushing attempts and 14 of them are receptions. You don't care. You really don't, as long as you're getting the ball.
Yeah, and this guy can make the most of every touch. As we saw yesterday, he can score from anywhere on the field anytime he touches the ball. And if Ingram's gone, this guy is definitely big enough to handle the load. He's 5'10", 214, right? And the other thing is, he makes people miss. Mm-hmm. He almost reminds me of LeSean McCoy and his cutback ability a little bit. He's a little bit more stop and start than LeSean McCoy. But when you're making people miss, you're also preserving yourself. You're not taking as many hits. So if Ingram's gone, this guy's easily like a top five pick, I think.
He's Mr. Elusive.
You know, it's crazy. Corey, you keep kind of sighing here. Man. How come?
He's a fantasy bell cow. He's not an NFL bell cow.
Right.
Are we ready for the fantasy bell cow yet? That means the guy that might just get the, like you say, might carry the ball five times. But he just, so much of the offense flows through him. And when he gets the football in his hand, he's so dynamic. I like him more on the turn better.
Right.
That's what I
think.
Because I want to put somebody with him.
I think you also hesitate because of history,
happens.
Though, because we've seen a guy flash big 1 year and then disappoint the next. There's not much of a track record.
Okay, let me ask you a question. First round next year, are you taking Alvin Kamara or a 30-year-old LeSean McCoy?
I'd take Kamara.
I'm taking Kamara.
I would likely take Kamara.
I'll take Kamara for the upside.
I mean, look, Melvin Gordon is great for the volume that he gets.
I would take Melvin Gordon and Todd Gurley over Alvin Kamara.
Todd Gurley,
Ezekiel Elliott, Le'Veon Bell.
Those three, I agree.
Maybe even Kareem Hunt.
Kareem Hunt's up there.
Oh,
we got to see how we finish. The season's not over.
We don't even know if Kareem Hunt's a first-round pick yet if he keeps going this way.
That's on Andy Reid. Andy Reid got to fix that.
Unless Andy Reid gets fired, I'm going to have this in mind.
Andy Reid's not going to get fired.
Yeah, so I'm saying I'm going to have this stretch in mind.
But the one thing I want to say, like I was saying about Julio, last week, if he wins you games... And the same thing with Kareem Hunt. Say if Kareem Hunt goes back to being Kareem Hunt the last 4 weeks.
That ball's forgiven.
Yeah, ball's forgiven, but that's not everybody. Because he cost me this week.
And the difference,
that team is not playing no more because of Kareem Hunt.
And the difference with Julio is Julio was giving you Julio was giving you a nice floor every week, at least when he wasn't having the big blow-up games. Kareem Hunt, the last 3 weeks... has not delivered at all, especially the last two. It was supposed to be really good matchups. I think it's a different dichotomy than Julio.
But I mean, what I want to say is people give LeSean McCoy a pass when he has a couple of bad games in a row. I don't get it. Look, he was a major disappointment to me yesterday. It broke my heart. I was almost in tears. Put it that way. That's how bad it was. But he is going right back in.
I want to make
season on the line.
I want to make it clear. It broke his heart that Kareem Hunt sucked against the team he roots for. He wears a hat of every single day. He almost cried because Kareem Hunt against his favorite team didn't do well.
My bank account comes before the Bills and any other team. Put it that way.
I mean, you look at the last 3 weeks. It's like no matchups are given with this guy. He's not a slam dunk to even be in your lineup. Dallas, 37 rushing yards. The Giants, 73. 17 yesterday against Buffalo, which was getting stampeded all the time. It's like, if you're going to die on that hill, well, you're close to the hill.
When people talk about Alvin Kamara and his share and what he could do, it really reminds me of Christian McCaffrey. And Christian McCaffrey yesterday in the Panthers' 35-27 victory carried the ball just 7 times, but he carried it for 62 yards. In this game, he only caught 2 passes for 35 yards on 5 targets. Matt, you're the Christian McCaffrey guy.
Yeah, I want to do that. Can I just go right? Look at LeSean McCoy's last 4 weeks. At the Jets, 2.5. At New Orleans, 9. He had the 25.6 against the Clippers, and then what? He got 11.9 yesterday. So he's not, blowing things up. He had a couple of really monster weeks, but you're trying to say like Kareem Hunt's nothing now. He's just garbage. I'm not buying that.
You go from zero to 100. I didn't say he was garbage. I'm just saying the guy is trending in the wrong direction, and we're not seeing any signs of this stopping. Of course, it could turn around, but nobody's saying he's garbage.
But nobody says a word about like McCoy in 3 of his last 4 weeks. He's been not what you want. You wanted much more from what he's giving you.
That's totally fair, but, you know, he's had, what, like two good games in the last four, whereas Hunt has just consistently been trending down.
No, when did look Kareem at the last Hunt four. He had that 25.6 game. Look at the
yeah, but Hunt, has, Hunt hasn't had anywhere close to that good game. You know what I'm saying? With McCoy, it's like, okay, there's a sign of life there with the 25-point game. What sign of life? Hey, you can't take that one game
he
away from McCoy.
Pretty much giving you double-digit points every week, except for this past week, he gave you 3.6. He had 9.8 against Denver. He has been pretty much 10 points or more, at least. That's not
he's been, he's been more around the 10 okay, points but, or okay, less but so then you the
look,
last few
look
weeks.
Look at it in a standard. LeSean McCoy, my God, since week five, Ezekiel Elliott is fourth in the standard. That's crazy.
He's still 10th.
That's crazy.
He's still 10th in week six.
That's
in three
crazy.
Games.
Since week seven. Five in the standard, LeSean McCoy is running back five. Kareem Hunt is running back 19. Kareem Hunt is, he got the same damn points as Isaiah Crowell.
If you want to argue standard, you can do it. I'm not the guy.
Look, you know, I hope Hunt turns it around. Believe me, I love Hunt just as much as you do. But the guy is
I'm
trending in
the
10-point or less director.
I'm just trying Kareem to make Hunt right now.
Some there's players, no 25-point game for him recently.
The discussion continued after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back with you here on the Roto Experts, RotoExperts.com/DKMS. Make sure you check it out. We're trying to send someone to the Super Bowl here this year. You head to the bottom of the page at RotoExperts.com/DKMS. At the bottom of the page, click a link. And any over the first 16 weeks, you can qualify for a DFS contest in week 17. You play in week 17, you win that, you head to the big game. But before you do that, make sure you read all the information at rotoexperts.com/DKMS because all the information is there for you to help save a life. We're looking for bone marrow donors and for those that to help people that have blood cancer. It's extremely, extremely important. All you have to do is swab your cheeks. You send it in. It's extremely simple. It's rotoexperts.com/DKMS. Please give it an opportunity to check it out.
Shout out to our Sunday Roto Experts host, Mike Blewett, who was in the top 14 of the contest heading into last night's game.
Is he even eligible to win? Like, should I give
should
him?
Be.
Should he be?
Yeah.
And I can take a listener with him to the Super Bowl.
Shout out to Money Making Mike Blewett.
I don't think he'd probably take a listener, Scott. He might take his wife or one of his homeboys.
Children.
George Kurtz, maybe.
Maybe George Kurtz.
George Kurtz, potentially.
George wouldn't want to go.
I don't. I hate the Super Bowl.
I hate Minnesota. It's too cold here.
Why would they go to the Super Bowl?
Yeah. You're like, oh, God, George.
I love George. He's so
it's angry. A long flight.
He's not Adam Gase level. You know what I'm saying? It's more of a playful, miserable with George Hurts.
I got to tell you, though, it's like he's been at Roto Experts now, I think, like 6 years, maybe seven, though. It was like he is like the greatest guy to be working with, though. George Kurtz is the best.
Shout out to George Kurtz.
Yeah.
Let me not say that.
AKA the intro.
Anybody you talk about, Scott immediately. I'm sure you're much better, Mr. Scott. Sussman. You feel what I'm saying? Because I want to just let it rip. You feel what I mean?
There's nothing you can say bad about George Kurtz.
No, there's nothing I can say bad about George Kurtz, but I was getting ready to talk about you.
My friend.
I'm your friend.
Yes.
Christian McCaffrey yesterday, 7 for 62 on the ground, 2 for 35 in the air. Now, Christian McCaffrey, so much of his damage has come in the passing game. It didn't happen yesterday, Matt. But McCaffrey still gets you almost 100 yards total anyway.
Yeah, no, the total yards is what you got to look at. Only two receptions. He almost got in the end zone, though, at one point. I think he got tackled at the two or went out of bounds at the two.
Yep.
You know, you're encouraged by the seven rushes, 62 yards. Look, this is a player that they need in this offense. Cam was horrific throwing the ball yesterday, let's be honest. The defense picked him up late, that kick return, punt return. But like Cam said, it was an ugly win. It's better than a pretty loss.
Yeah, and the thing with McCaffrey is he's been catching passes all year long, but we haven't seen explosive plays most of the year. And yesterday, you started getting them. The 40-yard catch was his longest of the season. The 40-yard run was his longest of the season. The 26-yard catch was his second longest of the season. He's been averaging just 7.9 yards per catch and 3.5 yards per rush. But you're racking up all the receptions.
But he's averaging 14.5
He's being very, very busy. And if you're going to get the explosive plays, which you haven't seen all year, then you're going to get more upside.
I'm satisfied. I don't own him nowhere. His owners say that he hasn't been a dog. He hasn't been great.
Will you own him next year?
It depends on what his round is. I am not pulling the trigger in nowhere. He is a middle of the third round PPR running back. He's a PPR RB2.
I mean, I got him at the large drafts. I got him in the third round and early fourth. So
I would do that.
He's an RB2?
If he had that same value next year, I would do that. If he's in the second round as a PPR RB1, I don't want it.
RB2, yes, but he's a locked-in RB2 every week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 59 catches is hard to...
Hard to ignore. Let's not forget that when it comes to the carries, it was Jonathan Stewart that had 15 carries yesterday, yeah. 26 yards.
I still want him to carry the football.
15 carries.
Yeah, I want him to carry the ball.
Did he score the touchdown as well? Devin Funchess, since his Calvin Benjamin trade, has been unbelievable. 7 catches yesterday for 108 yards, 12 targets on the day for Devin Funchess.
Love it.
He's been money ever since the Calvin Benjamin trade. He has been very, very dependable.
Shout out to Fun Bags.
Listen, I got that one wrong.
Love him.
This one is totally for real.
Hesitant, but even when it didn't work, even when the process has been right for a while now, but even when the process didn't work, the targets were there.
Yep.
And you know, if you have him in your lineup, you're very happy. The way this guy has progressed, you've seen it. And
he needed Benjamin to get out the way.
Yeah, no, that's... look, it's unfortunate about Greg Olsen. I mean...
So let's talk about Greg Olsen for a second. So I owned him. I started him. I saw the report. I was like, all right, whatever. He'll be out there when
you
I get
him. You didn't listen to George Kurtz. You said not to start.
I did not listen to George Kurtz.
And so did Joe Pisapia, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't listen to Joe Pisapia either. It was my only option. And I started Greg Olsen in the first play of the game. He's the catch of the pass. I'm like, great. And I saw the force that he'd be limited. And I heard Joe and I heard George... And my thought process was, listen, when it comes to the touchdown, when it comes to the red zone, he'll be out there. When it comes to a third down, he'll be out there. So even if he's limited, I'm okay with that.
You know how many times we've heard a coach about somebody be limited and they played a whole damn game?
Correct.
So he was targeted in the end zone.
Correct. He certainly was. I was like, yeah! And it was over his head or whatever. So
that's Cam.
I'm watching this game, and there's just third downs. Dixon's out there. And they get in the red zone. This is Greg Olsen time. And he just wasn't out there. Then you see him in the snow hat on the side, kind of just standing there with all his pads on. I was like, this is bad. And then he, foot injury, whatnot, out for the game. However, there was a report after the game that there may not have been a setback for Greg Olsen. That ultimately was sore. His foot was sore, as we expected, playing in his first game back. And that they would have they told him, listen, if you feel sore, let's not re-injure yourself more. Take yourself out. You'll be fine. There is a chance he plays on Sunday. Like,
let me cut you off. I know this story all too well with Sammy Watkins and his sore foot.
Yeah.
You know what? I can't trust him. He's not going in my lineup this week. You know, I don't care if he was playing, you know, the Giants or the Browns.
Right.
He's not going in.
Yeah, and, you know, Ron Rivera was saying in his press conference, I guess it just wasn't coach speak pregame because he was saying, look, he's not quite where we want him to
right.
be just yet. And I think, you know, sometimes you pick out the coach speak and that sounds kind of honest. So I didn't roll with him. It was him or Joe Mixon. I felt like I can't depend on Mixon. Cleveland's got a good run defense.
Yep.
Thankfully, I started Mixon.
I went with James White over Mixon. That worked out poorly.
That was a bad call.
Yes, it was. Now, the thing with Olsen, and I think you were right, Corey, that they did the coaches speak. You're going to play a handful of snaps. They just played every snap, right? Like, he was out there every play, seemingly from the beginning. He wound up playing 21 out of the 42 snaps that he was eligible for before he got taken out for good. I have a feeling he's going to play on Sunday. I'm not going to say you want to put him in your lineup, but I think he's going to play next Sunday. And fantasy owners are going to have a tough choice because when it comes to me, and I'm speaking brutally honest from myself, I don't own another tight end. During the bye week, I talked about this on the air. I had to drop Jack Doyle. I had no one else to drop. I dropped Doyle during the bye week for Mercedes Lewis. Mercedes Lewis scores a touchdown. I have to get rid of him. I get Greg Olsen back this week. That's an utter disaster. I don't own another tight end on my roster.
Well, the thing is that, you know, if you got another Cameron Brate or somebody like that, you know, you hope Olsen does more in the limited action. But here's interesting, you know, between him and Ricky Seals-Jones, if you have both of them, who would you play?
And that's so that is exactly where I was leading with that.
Yeah.
Ricky Seals-Jones is going to be the best tight end on the waiver wire. Last week, we all sat here. We laughed. No. Now you do it 2 weeks in a row. You're a Greg Olsen owner. Now I got to take it seriously. You're absolutely right, Scott.
Blaine Gabbert's one of the Nando DeFino All-Stars.
Oh, he loves Blaine Gabbert. He has loved Blaine Gabbert. We're going to get into that game in just a moment because I don't want to miss the Panthers and the Jets. We're not talking about your guy, Robbie Anderson.
Robbie Anderson is a hero, and he needs to be thanked by fantasy owners on Twitter all day today. If you picked up Robbie Anderson and you've been starting him, you need to thank him. And Robbie Anderson needs to be in your... I don't care what you have to do to get Robbie Anderson in your lineup, but you get Robbie Anderson in your damn lineup. Robbie Anderson is going off. He cannot be covered. Robbie Anderson is an NFL Hall of Famer.
We benched him in the Staten Island League. We had... These were our starting wide receivers. Keenan Allen, Stephon Diggs, and Golden Tate.
Yeah.
It was between Tate and Anderson. I said, I prefer Tate. If you want to go with Anderson,
yeah.
I mean, we rode Tate, and that was a good call.
Five consecutive games with a touchdown reception, 2 100-yarders in that span, and caught a touchdown in triple coverage yesterday. And it was interesting because you talked about Ricky Seals-Jones and Robbie Anderson, both undrafted.
Robbie Anderson wasn't undrafted. Undrafted in real life.
Yeah.
Yes. Robbie Anderson, 6 for 146 and 2 yesterday. And Jermaine Curse, he had a great game as well. 7 for 105 and a touchdown for him. Both these guys targeted double digits by Josh McCown, who from a fantasy perspective was tremendous. 300 yards passing and 3 touchdowns.
The Jets could have 7 wins this year.
They could.
They've blown so many games. That one game they were kind of robbed a little versus New England.
You could make the case they were robbed yesterday.
Yeah.
Austin Ferry Jenkins had another BS touchdown called back.
As far as Kurtz, though, don't overreact to this. This was his first double-figure fantasy performance since week 6. Now, you look at the Jets upcoming. They have Kansas City next week. So
you like that.
So you slam dunk for Anderson. I wouldn't trust Kurtz. They have Denver. Denver's no longer a good defense.
That's not the no-fly zone.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the no-fraud zone. Yeah, yeah. That right there is calm down.
Yeah. It's the Price is Right zone, yeah.
Seatbelts are off. You get up and use the
rest. But then after that, it's New Orleans and the Chargers. It gets a little tougher, but you can't bench Robbie Anderson.
The Carolina matchup was the toughest matchup that he's had so far this year on paper, and he tore their ass up. He's getting it done. He's going in my lineup.
He did face Jacksonville. Yeah, okay. 4 catches for 17 yards.
Well, yeah, that's Jacksonville.
Yeah.
But that was week 4. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's week 4. And recently, this guy's been getting it done. Though. He's going in my lineups. I love him dearly. Robbie Anderson is that guy. He's getting it done. I'm the president of the Robbie Anderson fan club.
Should buy you a Robbie Anderson jersey.
There you go. Yeah. Your Monday.
Give me $70.
Your Monday moment for today. Corey Barson chanting Robbie. Robbie, 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 Robbie,
Robbie, Robbie,
Robbie,
Robbie.
You wish it was a BFF. We'll take a break. When we come back, Arizona, Jacksonville, San Francisco, Seattle, we do it next.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. there. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
With you, Roto Experts here, presented by DX Racer. Remember, we told you what the Monday moment was. When can you win your free pair of skicks? Well, it's on Target, of course. Call Jake Seeley anytime. Anytime. When he announces the Monday moment at on Target, sometime between 4 and 6 p.m. Eastern time. I have a lot of trouble getting that out. Between 4 p.m. and 6 p.m.
Call Jake anytime.
And call him.
I will give out his number right now. You can call him whenever.
Call him
you want
today and ask him lineup questions for week 13.
Even better, you get a chance. This is what you do. The man works 90 hours a week. You got 2 hours to get to him today.
There you go. There you go. By the way, if you want to win a free pair of skicks, call him at 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. whenever he announces the Monday moment. Let him know what our Monday moment was. I'm not going to say it. You had to hear it before. I'm not going to say what it was again. Win your free pair of skicks today during On Target. All right, guys. Ricky Seals jumping, Scotty. Our guy, Arizona tight end. He was nothing the first 10 weeks of the year. Nothing.
Nothing. You're nothing.
Comes back, scores 2 touchdowns last week, and we all laugh. We laughed our faces off.
Who is that?
Who is that guy?
Mercedes Lewis Light.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Comes back against Mercedes Lewis's team yesterday. 4 catches, 72 yards, and a touchdown in the Blaine Gabbert revenge game. And he wanted it.
Look at that schedule.
He wanted it bad. And he got it.
It's interesting, but ever since Gabbert's taken over, we were talking 2 weeks ago about how Drew Stanton going to Gabbert, you know, was maybe a bad thing. It hasn't been a bad thing. Gabbert's actually shown some life in the offense. And, you know, yesterday doing against Jacksonville, it was pretty impressive. You know, obviously Larry Fitzgerald with the difficult matchup, but to Gabbert's credit, he went elsewhere effectively with the ball.
Yeah, now look, this guy, Ricky Seals-Jones, I mean, he got the Rams coming up, but then Tennessee, and then week 15 and 16, Washington has not been good versus tight end. And then you have the Giants in Championship Sunday.
Ricky Seals-Jones could win you a championship.
I wouldn't go that far.
The Giants in week 16.
I just can't go that far with Ricky Seals, not yet.
I'm going to have to pick up Ricky Seals this week.
I'd want to.
And pray.
I'd at least want to have him on my roster.
Get to week 16, he's getting in the end zone against the Giants.
He probably is.
I mean, if he can do it against Jacksonville, come on.
Washington's another team to pick on. And Tennessee's secondary has not been good. I don't know where they rank versus tight end.
But yeah, it's just Tennessee secondary in general. But the Jaguars fell yesterday, surprisingly, to Arizona in that Blaine Gabbert revenge game, 27-24. Larry Fitzgerald was effectively taken out by Jalen Ramsey. 3 catches, 12 yards. Give you a 2-point conversion to give you a little something. But it wasn't very much from him. Adrian Peterson carried the load in a big way. 20 carries, 79 yards for AP here in this game. Also caught 4 passes for 20 yards. So basically, without Andre Ellington, it's just basically more Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, a little bit of DJ Foster, but Peterson, you know you're getting the volume, but you really don't want to have to start him down the stretch in your fantasy playoffs.
No, you don't, but I like the one thing, if I have like Peterson, I'd rather start Peterson than say some of these handcuffs that people are picking up if like the starter goes out.
Just because the volume is going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, now with no Ellington, he's going to catch a couple passes every game.
He's never been catching.
I understand, but he caught 4 yesterday, and if he can catch 2 or 3 in a game, that's another just extra. Those are just bonus points.
I can't trust the guy. Just like, you know, he'll deliver a big dud whenever.
Trust him. I'm just saying, as opposed to picking up these backups.
Some of these backups, I might want to start over Peterson.
You'd start Travis Cadet over
Tavares Cadet over Peterson?
No, but there might be some guys like, you know, if I picked up Rod Smith, I'd consider, you know, as a handcuff to Elliott a few weeks ago, it's like I might consider starting him over Peterson.
I think I'd rather have Peterson.
If Kareem Peterson. Hunt goes down, you know, I'll start Shakandrick West
why?
Over Peterson.
Wait, why? I don't want to start Kareem Hunt! Why do you want to start Shakandrick West? You don't want to start Kareem Hunt. Why would you start Jarkandrick West?
I mean, I'm going to start Hunt, but I would start. You know, West is a backup. I would play.
Why would you play?
But I'm saying I'm playing Hunt, so I'm the guy that's playing Hunt.
Why would you start West? The Chiefs suck. You're going to start West over Adrian Peterson, who gets 20 carries.
Because I feel like he's going to catch passes, and I just won't get that from Peterson.
I don't know.
But you'll get, you know, goal line carries and stuff from Peterson as well.
They don't get to the goal line, the Chiefs.
I'm saying, but with the...
I'd rather start AP.
Close call, though.
Blake Bortles has more rushing touchdowns than Kareem Hunt since week three. He had two of them yesterday, in fact. Six carries, 62 yards for Blake Bortles. He used his legs, did not throw a touchdown, though.
Blake Bortles is like the epitome of fantasy football. Like, you don't have to be... He's not a good NFL quarterback, but he's a good fantasy player. He somehow puts up the numbers, you know... You don't want to watch it. It's really, you know, you got your hands over your face and you're trying to shield yourself. But, hey, it is what it is. Put it that way.
It is what it is. Leonard Fournette was very, very bad yesterday. 12 carries for 25 yards, just 3 receptions for 17. Corey, it's not going to get it done in week 12.
No, it's not going to get it done in week 12, especially when you had to play these back-and-forth games with him the past couple of weeks. But overall, he's still been pretty solid what he's given you so far this season. He hasn't fell off a cliff like that stiff Kareem Hunt. You know what I'm saying? So you take this one bad game, but you know Big Leonard be back right at him, though.
Well, two of the last three games. Well, he had that great game against Cleveland, 111 yards. In week 10, 6.6 PPR points. And in week 12, 7.2. So there is cause for concern. You know, he better do something against Indianapolis this upcoming week. Otherwise, you're really going to start to worry.
Yeah, no, Big Leonard was a big disappointment yesterday. It's not what you wanted to see in week 12. And Scott's right, you know, against the Colts, you know, you're hoping 100 yards, a touchdown or two.
Absolutely.
He was on the sideline late in the game for T.J. Yeldon.
Well, that's what they do. They pace the passing down back with the game at a two-minute drill. They put in T.J. Yeldon 100%, and we've seen it before. We continue to see it. D.D. Westbrook led this team in targets with 10, 6 catches for 41 yards. I know you beating the drum here, Corey, about not caring about D.D. Westbrook. Is there a change?
What did he have to that again?
10 targets, 6 catches for 41 yards.
Is he going to break your starting lineup in week 14?
He's getting ever closer to that 200 yards.
Yes. Maybe we're talking for the season or one game.
If he's going to, if you think that he has a chance to get in your starting lineup before weeks 14, 15, and 16, by all means, go make the pickup, go make the play. He's not cracking none of my starting lineups in those weeks. I can care less.
You can watch what he does against the next 2 weeks against Indianapolis and Seattle in weeks 15 and 16, Houston and San Francisco.
He's somebody I wouldn't mind having on my bench, but I'm not playing him right now.
Yeah.
Hopefully I wouldn't have to play him in week 15.
If you have to play him, you're feeling like, oh, no, I'd rather have Robbie Anderson.
The big difference between those two.
Clearly.
I love Robbie Anderson.
Yeldon, by the way, had 5 catches for 4. I know you do. 5 catches for 42 yards yesterday. Marquise Lee shut down by Patrick Peterson. He had 1 for 13. San Francisco and Seattle. The Niners fell to the Seahawks 24-13. Russell Wilson throws for 2, also runs for 1. Why does this team continue to start Eddie Lacy?
Against San Francisco, you know, which is by far the worst rushing team, they totaled just 90 rushing yards. They tossed it to McKissick on a sweep. He got 13 yards, and you know, if he didn't get shoved out of bounds, who would have known? He might have went all the way. They said, okay, let's see what Lacy can do against them, and like he was 2 yards of cloud dust against the 49ers. This team has absolutely no running game, and Carroll immediately said after the game that they're starting Mike Davis in week 13, that he will be back.
But what's crazy to me is that this coaching staff, Pete Carroll, Daryl Bevel, whoever, they continue to roll out Eddie Lacy out there. It's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling.
You know what else is mind-boggling, though? It's like, you know, give Corey credit for staying off Eddie Lacy, but I did not think that he was going to look as absolutely bad as he does. It's just like the guy, like when Dr. A said the ankle is still an issue, the guy runs with absolutely no authority whatsoever. It looks like he's almost 15 years removed from what we saw as recently as last year. It's like it doesn't make any sense to roll him out there.
It's running in molasses right now. Paul Richardson, 4 catches for 70 yards. I thought he was going to have a bigger game after like the first drive where he had 2 big catches. Yeah. That was it. It was, you know.
Then they got him involved late, too.
You know, I was worried Jimmy Graham was going to get shut out, but he got the touchdown.
As he always does.
He figured out a way to get it. You get that touchdown. He figured out a way to get that touchdown every week. Doug Baldwin dropped an egg, but... Later in
the bad game for Doug Baldwin. 2 for 25.
Better than that. They got to get him
more involved. San Francisco. 2 for 25 from Doug Baldwin.
They just didn't get him involved. You know, the first half was a slog, even though they lost. And when they came back in the second half, and you know, just did their thing. It's like, you know, they didn't look for Baldwin. They didn't look for Graham. Graham actually like took a lot of snaps off, and they put Nick Vinette in there, and he caught a touchdown.
Is Russell Wilson the best player in the NFL?
Is Russell Wilson the best player in the NFL?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm not Tom Brady.
I think he's definitely in the conversation. He can do more than Tom Brady can do.
It's a different player. I think he's definitely one of the best players in the league.
Certainly.
But
I couldn't say he's better than Brady, though.
I can't say that either.
But yeah. Brady's also like a 40-year-old man.
Yeah, Wilson. And he's still a 40-year-old man who just set a record for touchdown passes.
Russell Wilson can run. Russell Wilson can put a team on his back. Russell Wilson don't.
Russell Wilson can run, put a team on his back. So can Brady.
Brady can put a team on his back, but he doesn't with his arm. What Russell Wilson's able to do with his legs.
Who cares how you do it?
I get that. And I understand.
Tom Brady doesn't have to do that.
Position is evolving. It's a new type of breed, but if you're a classic throwback, you know, pocket passer, and you get it done, there's nothing wrong with that.
That's true. Yeah, too. I feel you.
Look, Tom Brady can put a team on his back too. It's just like a different. It's like he's saying he's a different style. Tom Brady doesn't have to run the ball.
For San Francisco, Carlos Hyde had a career-high 13 targets in this one. Catches 7 passes. Marquise Goodwin had 78 yards receiving. Hyde only had 47 yards on the ground. But listen, with those 7 catches, last I don't care.
Who'd you take, Carlos Hyde or Kareem Hunt? And I said Carlos Hyde, everybody, that's why.
Carlos Hyde, we've got to have like 49 catches on the season.
Carlos Hyde's had a tremendous season.
C.J. Beathard got lit up in the last, like, minute of the game. They bring in Jimmy Garoppolo, runs for a first down, throws a pass, and then throws a touchdown.
It's coming.
And everybody's like,
I think
like,
they waited for Whoa! After that Seattle game. They didn't want him facing that defensive Whoa! Court.
Jimmy Garoppolo. Although, that's probably not good for Carlos Hyde's value.
Oh, I think he'll be out.
We'll take a break. We'll wrap it up after this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Of the program here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Jake Seeley got to join the show. Before he does, quickly, Pittsburgh defeated Green Bay late last night, 31-28. Antonio Brown went nuts, 10 for 6, 169 and 2. Le'Veon Bell at 12 catches for 88 yards, also rushed for 95 of them. Devontae Adams continues to be the number one wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers, while Jamal Williams, your boy Jake Seeley, 21 carries, 66 yards, and a touchdown on the ground, plus 69 yards through the air, and a touchdown there. All in, kid, you gotta be feeling good about Jamal Williams these days.
Nope. Yeah,
well,
had a terrific day.
What's that? Scott?
No, I was going to say week 12 was for you, Jamal Williams and Joe Mixon.
Yeah, it only took to week 12. Look, the fact is, what you said, though, Greg, and everybody knows this by this point, is exactly why I was so high on Jamal Williams, is because he can do things in the passing game. He can go between the tackles. He can go outside. He has all the moves. The one problem that we had seen up until this point, which is what I said in the draft process, too, is that he has Trent Richardsonitis and runs into the back of his offensive lineman, but the vision was there yesterday. If that continues, I don't see him ceding this job. I think Montgomery's still going to share if he ever gets a little bit healthy, like 100% healthy, but I don't think he's going away at this point.
He didn't, like, I didn't think Jamal Williams, like, looked particularly good. Like, I thought we saw a lot of, like you said, running into the back of your own lineman. And, like, listen, the screen pass was blocked perfectly. I thought the touchdown run was very, very nice. But there's a lot, maybe it was specifically the first half, but I thought there was a lot of just running into your lineman from Jamal Williams last night.
No, it's still, like I said, it's still there. He's getting better. It's going to take some time, and hopefully it improves and continues to improve. And if it doesn't, I mean, he's always going to limit his upside, but that's always been the problem that he's had. He's got that Trent Richardsonitis, basically.
Tonight,
looks like he's got the cure, though. He's working on it.
Tonight, Monday Night Football, Houston, Baltimore. To be honest with you, I'm not watching this game.
This will probably be the wild card game preview. Yeah.
I don't think Houston's getting in, dude. You think Houston's getting into the playoffs?
No, just this type of game.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not watching this game, Jake. Are you?
Oh, absolutely. Got to watch everything.
You don't have to. There's other things on. There's Monday Night Raw is on. What if you want to watch that?
No, that's on the side TV. I have to watch everything. I'm also going to be writing my waiver column at the same time.
So you really are going to be. You're going to have Raw on one TV. You gotta, football, you got to write. You're not going to watch this game.
I'm going to watch this game.
I do it every Monday night.
Ugh.
I'm going to watch it too, Jake. I'm with you.
You're going to fall asleep before halftime.
What?
You're going to fall asleep before halftime.
No, I'll at least watch the first half.
There you go. You watch the first.
No, if it didn't end at midnight, you know, it's like 11:30, I would watch the full thing.
Just make sure you watch Curb.
I'll watch that tomorrow.
I'm going to watch Curb tonight. I got Shameless. I'm not watching Baltimore Houston.
Yeah. It's what I do.
You know what?
Yeah, I'll be watching.
You know what? I'm also not watching Thursday night either this week. No, Thursday night I am watching. I'm not watching.
I might not watch Thursday.
How are you going to watch these games? I am watching
Thursday night. I mean, there's another crappy game coming up that I didn't want to watch, but that might just be this Monday. I was thinking about like another Miami game that's coming up probably.
This next Giants game.
Oh, yeah. That's probably it too, Jake. Oh,
you don't have any fantasy involvement in tonight's game?
I do not.
No. That's probably why you're not watching.
I got nothing going on. It's two teams I hate watching with Deshaun Watson out. There is nothing fun about tonight's game.
There you go. Alex Collins, I'll watch it. DeAndre Hopkins, I'll watch it.
It's so boring. It's so boring.
It's not the most exciting game, but this is what we do, you know?
Well, listen, this is what you do, but I'm a well-rounded human being. I watch other things. I am proud to say that.
I watch other things, but not when football is on.
You can.
I'm actually proud of Scott. He didn't throw a baking shot at you. I thought that was coming. I thought that was teed up.
Holiday baking is on tonight, for the record. Very excited for that.
Is it the debut?
No. We're midway through the year.
But the holiday season just started.
Well, it has to end. It has to end Christmas week.
I am expecting some cookies coming in the next couple weeks.
I don't actually bake. I just watch them.
After watching that show, you don't bake? You probably don't get into it.
I'm trying to,
stop baking cookies and stuff.
We made a homemade Caesar dressing last night. Is that exciting?
So you said you're trying to from the show, so no, you practice and bring some stuff in.
I'm not interested in baking. Sorry.
So why do you like the show so much?
Because I like winning. It's a fantasy game for me. I like fantasy holiday baking. I try to win. I'm a winner.
All right.
At least I tell myself that. All right, Jake, you're on next with the Frenzy Corner. What's coming up next?
Coming up next, we'll try to figure out what the hell took place yesterday and on Thursday over the weekend. A lot of very weird things took place, a lot of Thanksgiving miracles. So we'll start to unravel those. And, of course, we'll get you some waiver wire or some streams. Dr. A joined the program. It's going to be good times.
For those that are watching Monday Night Football tonight, enjoy that snooze fest. I'm going to sleep much better than you. For Matt Montego, for Scott Engel, and for Corey Parson, my name is Greg Sussman. Thank you so much for watching. Enjoy the frenzy next. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Bye-bye.